In the name of Jesus, amen. Words can be tricky things. Words can build up and words can tear down. Words can encourage and words can discourage. Words can bring clarity, but words can also bring confusion. Here's a simple question. What do you think our church should be doing? Simple question. What do you think our church should be doing? And that, of course, provokes another question. Well, about what? What are we talking about? What do you think our church should be doing? Well, let's run a few topics through this line of questioning. What do you think our church should be doing? We've got national elections coming up in November. What do you think our church should be doing? Some churches, you know, they have people come and speak and talk about the issues. Some churches promote voter registration and hand out voter information things to people. Some churches do that. What do you think our church should be doing? Or let's take another topic that's kind of hot these days. Racial and gender equality. What do you think our church should be doing? Some churches encourage people to be out there protesting and demonstrating and writing to their congressmen and senators. What do you think our church should be doing? There are churches that do those things. Well, let's run some more topics. We've got the opioid crisis. We've got absentee fathers. We've got homelessness. We've got climate change, alcoholism. Those are all causes you can find churches getting involved in. So what do you think our church should be doing? We could stop right now and I could hand out little pieces of paper. You've got pencils in your pews and we could ask you to write down some ideas you have, some thoughts, and turn them in. And we would have a wide variety of responses and ideas. We're not going to do that. But before we get too far off track, let's go back to that question. What do you think our church should be doing? Bad question. Misleading question. And it has to do with one little phrase. Our church. It's not our church. It's Jesus' church. The church belongs to Him. He's the head. And we are the body. And that cuts through so much of that. It cuts right to the heart of the matter. What helps us stay on track is not asking, what should our church be doing? And there are churches who ask that question, but to ask the question, what should Jesus' church be doing? It's His church. Jesus reminds His followers of that. One day He asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah or one of the prophets. Good company to be in. All of those men were men who spoke the Word of God counterculturally. The culture was hostile to the message which they preached, but they kept on preaching it. They didn't back down. And so to be identified in that company of men, that's good company to be in. It tells you that when people heard Jesus preaching, they were beginning to get it. But Jesus presses on, and He presses the disciples. The disciples had spent more time with Jesus than the regular crowd. They had heard more of His teaching. They had seen more of His miracles. And so Jesus asks them, but how about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, the spokesman for the 12, he responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a good answer, because that's who Jesus is. He's the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christ, the one God was sending to save the world. Now, the disciples didn't have the full grasp of what that meant at this point in their lives. That would come later. But they're on the right track. Jesus even says so. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus says Peter didn't figure this out by himself. It was revealed by God. We don't have to wonder if Peter got it right. Jesus himself says that he does. The ability to confess Jesus as Lord is from God. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus goes on and says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this confession that you made, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First time the word church is used in the New Testament. And please notice who's using it and who gives it a definition. It's Jesus. Jesus tells us he's the one who builds the church, and it's his church. Sometimes the church can look a lot like a man-made organization. We have budgets and boards and committees and all of that. There's structure to it. And congregations ebb and flow. They grow and they diminish. And buildings are put up and buildings are torn down. But don't let that confuse you with whose church it is and what it should be doing. It is from God. It's not built upon whatever rocks we happen to cobble together. It's built upon Jesus. It's centered in Jesus. And that may all sound rather obvious, but when you ask the simple question, what should our church be doing, you see how easy it is to get off track. The church that our Lord builds is centered in Him. And so whenever you go to a Christian church service, like you're going to this morning, whether you're at another church building or whether you're at a wedding or a funeral in a Christian church, ask a simple question that even a child can answer. Did I hear about Jesus today? And not just, well, yeah, I heard Him mentioned in the prayers or I heard Him mentioned in the scripture meetings. Did I hear about what Jesus does? How He forgives our sins and gives us life in His name. The church that Jesus builds, the church that He makes you a part of, pronounces forgiveness of sins. That's the main task of the church. Jesus told Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This church, which Jesus builds, is given some keys. Most of you have keys. Keys do two things. They lock and they unlock. When sins are forgiven, the kingdom of heaven is open and unlocked. Where sins are not forgiven, the kingdom of heaven remains locked. The task that Jesus gives the church is to pronounce the forgiveness of sins. Jesus gives to the church that special authority to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness of sins from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. That's the task Jesus gives to His church, to forgive sins, to assure people of the grace and mercy which is given to us in Christ. We can't access the kingdom of God on our own. We need to have it opened for us and to us. And Jesus does that by His blood. That good news is preached into your ears. It's washed upon you in your baptism. And it's put into your very mouth with the body and blood of Jesus. The church of Jesus is literally crammed with forgiveness. Words can be tricky, but the Word, Jesus, never deceives. He is a Word of truth and life and assures us of the grace and mercy which is given to us freely in Him, who washes away all of our sins, that there would be now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That you could be assured that you have peace with God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So we'll change that opening question from what should our church be doing to what should Jesus' church be doing? It should be doing what our Lord gives it to do, forgiving sins and proclaiming the grace and mercy of God in Christ. And where that is going on, there Jesus is building his church. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.